With me to the book of Hebrews. I'm not sure if we are actually going to read any of these verses today, or if we are going to cover a verse in this study. Nonetheless, what we are about to embark on, what we are about to start in this very, very important book, it is one of the most difficult book in the Bible. It's a book that many people avoid because of the depth that it goes in. Some of the things that it says in this book are very, very difficult to explain. But I am hoping as we go through this book, I am able, and we are together through the help of the Holy Spirit, are able to see some of the wonderful, profound truth in this book. If you just kind of jog your memory, if you just kind of think, those of you who attend the church, you will find that not too often there is a teaching from the book of Hebrews. Although there are a lot of verses, and you will see as we go through this book, that are very familiar to you. I can draw your attention to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, where he talks to us about how Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. There are other various portion of scripture in the book of Hebrews that you are very, very familiar with. Perhaps you have used it in your own conversation with others. Perhaps you have used the verse that says, "The God's word is a two-edged sword." Often this comes up in conversation. And so what we have here, especially when we get to the end of this chapter, end of this book, and chapter 13, that is one of the most wonderful sermon in the Bible, where he talks to us about the Mount Sinai and Mount Zion, comparing the law and the grace, that we don't come to the Mount Sinai, we come to the Mount Zion, where we find grace. So what is this the book about? The name itself, it says Hebrews. And so this letter is written to the Jews. This letter is written to the Jews. There is a lot of controversy surrounding this letter. And the controversy comes from who wrote this epistle. Nobody knows who wrote these epistles. There are various theories. There are various accounts. Many people believe that this is Paul writing this letter, and there are things that we see in there that are definitely Pauline theology, okay? Something that Paul would write to us. But when you look at and examine the letter, as many who have done, the language and the style of the writing is not that of a Paul. So there is a lot of doubt about who wrote this book. Some say it's Paul, some say it's Apollos, some say it's Barnabas, some even say it's the Priscilla and Aquila who wrote this book. But this book is definitely, and I can assure you, without a doubt, is written by Holy Spirit. It is written by Holy Spirit. And so as we go through this book for the next, perhaps 25, 30 weeks, I am going to try to make sure that I do not give a credit to Paul for writing this book. If I do, forgive me. One thing we are sure, that it is written by a Holy Spirit. It's a very special book. It's a book that is written to a specific audience. As you look at different epistles in the scripture, you see that they are written to a certain church. For instance, to the church of Romans, to the Galatians, the Corinthians. We know all the letters that Paul has wrote to various churches in the Asia Minor. This is not written to a specific church. What it is believed to be, it's written to Jews who are outside of Jerusalem, outside of Israel, so to speak. And they did not have a first-hand experience with Jesus. That they came to know Jesus through the apostles. So these are not Jews who were in Galilee. These are not Jews who were in Jerusalem. These are Jews outside of those areas who heard the good news, heard the good news, and that's who this letter is written to. As I speak to you about who the letter is written to, it's important to understand the audience. It's important to understand the audience. If you don't understand the audience of the book of Hebrews, we are going to have a lot of confusion. Lot and lot of confusion. And so it's important right off the bat, and I'm going to remind you each time as we go through this book, that particular portion of the scripture, who is it written to? So here is the three sets of people that this letter is written to. First of all, as I said, it is written to the Jews who believe in Christ. Believe in Christ. What we call today Messianic Jews. Those who have accepted Christ. And they have put their trust, accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior. They have left their Judaism and now are Christians. And this is important to understand to avoid a lot of confusion, because if this book was written just to Christians, it raises a lot of questions, a lot of unanswerable questions, especially when we get into chapter 6, where there is a hint, okay? And this is that is perhaps the most controversial verse in the scripture, that you can lose your salvation. So keep that in mind. If we go with the notion that this book is written only to Christians, it raises so many questions, unanswerable questions. So the first group of people that this book is written to is Jews, Messianic Jews. The second set of people that this book is written to is the Jews who understand that Jesus is the Messiah intellectually. They see the evidence, they understand who Jew is, but not have committed to Christ. They have not committed to Christ. It's important, okay? We have those kind of people today. There are churches filled with these people who sit in the church. They know Jesus is the God. They have all the evidence they need, but they still have not taken that final step where they have accepted Christ and made him their Lord and Savior. And then, of course, the third set of people that we have is the Jews who still have not believed and are still lost in the old religion. And so as we look at this, three set of people, and you say, okay, great. Why are we studying Hebrews? There are so many other books. There are 65 other books, maybe 64, four other books, because we just finished one. What are we going to gain from this book? Since this is a book written to Hebrews, right? It's specifically written to the Jews. How are we going to gain anything from it? Okay. Well, there are a couple of reasons why I picked this book. For those of you who have been part of this study, you know we decided that we are going to go through the scripture, and perhaps you have a question. After Exodus, the next book is Leviticus. Why don't we just do Leviticus? Why did you change it up, and why are we in a New Testament? So personally, I am teaching through various books in Old Testament, and so there was a little bit of a selfish reason to come into the New Testament, just change it up a little bit and come into the New Testament. Besides that, okay, the Hebrews is the Leviticus of New Testament. It is impossible to understand Leviticus without Hebrews, and it is impossible to understand Hebrews without the book of Leviticus. So although we are not doing the book of Leviticus, indirectly, we are doing the book of Leviticus. Because as we go through the book of Hebrews, what you are going to find is you're going to have a different understanding of the book of Leviticus. All those rituals, all that it speaks about in the Leviticus, about the holiness of God, right? Leviticus is a book that can be divided into two parts. One is the holiness of God, and the second is how do you approach that holy God? How do we approach that holy God? And here in Hebrews, we are going to learn Leviticus. And I'm hoping and praying that by the time we get done with this 13 very profound, powerful, impactful chapters in the book of Hebrews, that we have a much better understanding of the book of Leviticus. So that's why we are here. The second thing that I started out by saying is, okay, so this book is written to the Jews. It talks about, a lot about the Leviticus and all the practices in the Leviticus, all the sacrifices and the temple rituals and so forth. We are past that. You might say, you know what? We are Christians. I'm a born again Christian. What does this, all of this have to do with me today as we sit, right? I think there is an important lesson in this book. Well, the lesson that we're going to learn here and the teaching that we see here in this book is to the Jews who had accepted Christ, but due to outside pressure, and some of it from the family, some of it from the synagogue perhaps they went to, from the society there was a pressure to go back to their old temple worship, go back to the Judaism. We see this in the book of Galatians as Paul rebukes Peter that, why are you putting a burden on these Jews that we know that Jesus has freed us from? And in similarly, here in the book of Hebrews, what we see is these Jews who had accepted Christ, now because of the persecution that they are facing, they have a temptation or inclination to go back to their old religion. The other thing is, here what we learn is the superiority, okay, or the preeminence of Jesus. This is what this book is about. This is what this book is about. That Jesus is superior than any other thing. Any other prophet, any other angel, any other being. That is what this book talks about. And so today, as we sit in our churches, you know, so many times we have a hard time giving up our temple worship. You know, those rituals, those things that we have been taught from a very young age, and we do not understand, why do I need to be born again? I was born in a Christian family. My father was a Christian. My grandfather was a pastor. My grandfather's father was a pastor. I have been a Christian all my life. Why do I need to be born again? Because there is a new covenant. There is a better covenant, the one that comes through the blood of Christ. And that is the message of this book in the Hebrews. These Jews, they were told, oh, here's the truth. You know what their answer was? We know the truth. We are Jews. We know the divine relationship. Our God is the God. We know the truth. Why should I go and do? Why should I follow what you are trying to tell me here? I have the temple. I have the law, I have the Moses, I have the prophets. Why do I need to go in a different direction? Much like how we find some resistance right now when we speak to somebody who's sitting next to us in the church and say, hey, listen, you need to be born again, otherwise you're not going anywhere. And why? I've been Christians, I tithe, I was baptized, I was confirmed. You know, I'm a third generation, fourth generation, fifth generation Christian. Why? Why do I need to do it? And so through this book, we are going to understand why is it important that Jesus is the only way. And he is the way that takes us to the Father and to the eternal life. So this book, when I compare this book, and when you look at it overall, this book is about Jesus. Right? And I love the books that are about Jesus. Not that any of the book is not, but the predominant thought in the book of Hebrews is Jesus, who he is, okay? And even before I even go into further into this introduction, I want you to understand something here, okay? Look at the first verse. I'm going to read it. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet, has in these days spoken to us by his Son. I'm going to stop right there, okay? Jesus is the focus of this book, his superiority. And when I say this, what this book is trying to tell us, and please pay attention, okay? Jesus was not a messenger, okay? Sometimes it is thought that way, that Jesus came from the Father to teach us, okay? Jesus is not a messenger. What this book is going to teach us is Jesus is the message from the Father. I hope you understand the difference in that. that Jesus is the message. He's not the messenger. He's not speaking in behalf. Like the prophet spoke in behalf of God. What the difference between a priest and a prophet is the priest speaks to God in the behalf of the people. Like in the Old Testament, we see in the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, a high priest would go into the temple. We just came through Book of Exodus. In detail, we studied what the tabernacle was and all the rituals and the ceremony that was around that tabernacle. Once a year, that priest would go and atone for the sins of the people. So the priest speaks to God in behalf of people. The prophet speaks to people in behalf of God. The message that he receives from God, he speaks to the people. Jesus is both, in a sense. He's a priest and a prophet, but he is the message. He is the message. Remember that. Remember, that is the theme of the book of Hebrews. That is the theme of the book of Hebrews. Now, when we look at the book of Revelation, and some of you were part of that Bible study, it says the revelation. Revelation of who? The revelation of Jesus Christ. What did the book of Revelation teach us or teaches us? The book of Revelation teaches us who the glorified Christ is. In the very first chapter, John sees a vision of Jesus, glorified Jesus, what he is doing right now, interceding for us, praying for us. We see him going through the lamps, if you remember, in chapter 12, verses 12 to 19. That was a glorified Jesus, complete focus on a glorified Jesus. Here, when we come to the book of Hebrews, what we have is once again a focus on Jesus, but his 3-year ministry, what we learn in the gospel, his ministry, what that achieved. So this book is all about Jesus. What we have, the blessing that we have in Jesus. Yes, we have salvation. But there is much more that we need to understand how he fulfilled the whole Old Testament law. And that's what we are going to look at as we go through this book. Now, there are some difficulties in this book. Okay, there are 5 portions of scripture in this book that are very, very difficult to explain. And right off the bat, I wanna address them. We are going to look at them in a detail, but I at least want to mention them, okay? These are some of the reasons why you don't hear teachings on the book of Hebrews. And so as we are going to tackle this, perhaps, they say there is a fine line between being brave and being stupid. So I don't know if I'm being brave or I'm being stupid as we tackle this book. You guys decide on what side of the line I fall. But nonetheless, here are 5 portion of scripture in this 13th chapter that really, really, gives problem to a lot of theologians. Okay, first one which will come in chapter 2 is drifting from the word, which comes in chapter 2, 1-4. What is it talking about? Is it talking about neglect? Is it talking about losing your salvation? The second one is doubting the word, which is in chapter 3, verses 7 to chapter 4, verse 13. Is it a hardened heart? What is he talking about there? We are going to look at that. I'm going to do my best to show you what it is saying. Okay. The other one that comes is chapter 5, verses 11. And I already mentioned this, all the way to chapter 6 to verse 20, the dullness toward the word. Okay, and if you go and read the chapter 6, I believe it's verse 20, you will see it almost sounds like if you are not careful, we lose our salvation. I don't believe it talks about that. Okay, when we get to chapter 10, verse 26 to 39, it's talking about the despising the word. And then chapter 12, verses 14 to 29, defying the word, literally refusing to listen to the word. So these are the 5 very, very difficult portion in the book of Hebrews that we are going to tackle. when we look at the book of Hebrew, you can literally divide it in a five separate sections, so to speak. The first one is it asks us to evaluate. Okay, evaluation. Who Jesus is? What did he do for us? Okay, there is the exhortation. And this five difficult portion of scripture that I mentioned to you, it comes from exhortation. What does all of these things mean? The importance in the book of Hebrew is the word of God, right? It starts out here, as I read, God who at various times in various way spoke in time past. But now if you turn with me, and when we get to the end of the book, chapter 12, verse 25, and I'm going to read that verse for you, verse 25, look what it says. It says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. What is it talking about? In the start, it is talking about God speaking, and a book ends with listening to what God is speaking to us. It's important. This is the exhortation. There is the exaltation of Jesus we have. We have the examination. Okay, this is the book of an examination. All right, and this is a book of also expectation. Because what God has done for us, there is an expectation. There is an expectation that we are going to have certain blessing. And these are the things that we are going to go through. So now with this very lengthy introduction, and believe me, there is much more that I want to say, and I am, restraining from saying it very quickly in the 5 to 7 minutes that I have. Let's look at what is being said here. We are, as I said, we are just going to introduce perhaps the first couple of verses, and we are going to see how all of this sets up. The first word in this a book is God. There is no mention here. Okay, there is nothing like trying to prove the existence of God. It is just given. God, who at various times and in various way spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet. Here what we have is it gives us the validity of Old Testament. That the Old Testament was inspired by God. This book does not say, okay, be careful as we go through this book. This book is not teaching us that Old Testament is wrong. What this book is teaching us is Old Testament was incomplete, and in Jesus, it becomes complete. Okay? That's important to remember. What this first verse is telling us is God spoke in time past through the prophet in bits and pieces, right? It was not a complete information. If I would just draw your attention, if you look at Abraham, right, through the Abraham, God told us what the nation is going to come, what nation the Messiah is going to come from. With Jacob, he taught us what tribe he was going to come from. With David and Isaiah, he taught us which family he was going to come from. With Micah, he told us which place he was going to be born. And so the point I'm trying to make is with this various portion of scripture, God in bits and pieces gave us an information that led us to Messiah. Remember, it's not until the book of Isaiah, until we get into the book of Isaiah, that we know that Jesus is going to be born of the Virgin. Right? That is the Christmas message in the Isaiah. That information was not available to Abraham. That information wasn't available to Jacob. It wasn't available to anyone, right? Even when it comes to Isaiah, right? It's when we get into the book of Daniel, that's where the time of Jesus is given, when Jesus is going to be born, right? So bits and pieces, the information is revealed to us about who? About his plan, his divine plan, okay? But now it says, now in the last days, he has spoken to us by his son. Before I go any further, I just want to tell you something. This is very important here. You see the word spoke. If I were you, I would circle that word in your Bible. Unless God speaks, there is no way for us to know who God is. Unless God reveals himself, we have no way of knowing about God. And this is what sets Christianity apart from every other religion. What is the every other religion? Every other religion tries to reach God in their own strength. They have created this God. They have created this environment, this religion, where they say, if we do this, if this is the life we live, if I, abstain from eating meat, or if I do this, or if I do that, if I pray five times facing a certain direction, this is how I'm going to get closer to God. Christianity says, no, I have spoken to you through the person of Christ, how you are to approach me. Unless God speaks, we are incapable of knowing who God is. Even in right now, even with the scripture, we have a very, very limited understanding of who God is. And this is something the Jews understood. This is something that Jewish people understood, that with Messiah, a certain revelation was going to come. Look, turn with me. A portion of scripture we go to often is John chapter 4. This is the woman at the well, right? When she talks about Jesus, in verse 25, look what she says to Jesus as she's having this conversation. John chapter 4, verse 25. This is what the woman says. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. You see, the Jews understood, even this Samaritan woman understood, that when Messiah comes, he is going to give us a complete revelation. Up to that point, there was an incomplete revelation, that Jesus was going to give a complete revelation as to who God is. And so unless God had told us who he is and what his plan is, there is no way for us to know. And that's why that word, God spoke in the time past. This is what sets us apart from every other religion, every other faith in the world, that God, through Jesus, has spoken to us. He came and met us. Right? Often what I say to you is that in God's holiness, we can never approach him. It is only in his love, in a form of Jesus, that we are able to reach to God, that we are able to approach God. And what this verse is saying to us is, there is no way, because of our limitation, the physical limitation that we have, there is no way for us to look into the heavenly places. We have no idea what is going on in that unseen realm. We do not have an ability to understand, right? Even today, one of the biggest questions that we have, if we are raptured, if we are, we are transferred into our glorified body, how is it going to be? Are we going to know each other? Are we going to eat? Are we going to recognize each other? All these questions that we have, all of these questions deal with that heavenly abode. And we have no way of understanding. We have no concept of it, right? The only way we can approach God is because God decided to reach us through Jesus. And now we are able to step into that heavenly battle, as we study in Ephesians chapter 6, because of Jesus and because of the Holy Spirit. So he spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet, as in these last days spoke to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. You know, throughout the New Testament, and I'm going to close with this, perhaps this is the last line in the introduction of the Hebrews. I hope I have gotten you excited about the book of Hebrews, that you are looking forward to the next few weeks as we unpack all that is in the book of Hebrews. When we read the gospel, we see Jesus talking about the Father, the plan of the Father. He talks about the salvation, the reason for repentance, how we need to let go of the rituals and all of those things, right? Constantly we hear or we read about Jesus speaking to us about the Father. It's only here in this book that Father is speaking to us about Jesus, who Jesus is, why Jesus is superior than everything else. Why is he superior than the prophets? Why is he superior than the angels? Why is he superior than Moses? Why is he better than Joshua? Why is he better than Aaron? Why is he the better covenant? Why is his sacrifice is the better sacrifice than the one in the tabernacle? And so on and on and on. Okay? That's what we are going to. The preeminence of Jesus is what we are going to explore. And just to tease you a little bit. Just to tease you a little bit. Okay? As we end this Bible study, go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7. Read that chapter. Only place in the Bible where God the Father calls Jesus the Son, my God. You will not find that anywhere else. Are you guys excited? I hope you are, because this is going to be an amazing study. I'm so looking forward to it. I am so excited about going through this book. As I said, there are some amazing messages in here that is going to strengthen our walk with Christ. Let's pray. Oh, Father, as we go through this very difficult portion of the scripture, Lord, more than ever, Lord, we need the assistance of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Guide us through this word, Lord. Lord, I pray that you just equip me to do what needs to be done, Lord. And as people hear, Lord, as we read this together, what you have written to us, Lord, I pray that we understand what we have in you, that we understand that the sacrifice that you provided, that is so complete. And the word that we are going to encounter over and over again, Lord, help us to remember that you are better. You are better than anything else. Better. The word that we are going to encounter. You are perfect. And you are the source of our eternal life, Lord. So, Lord, it is with a lot of expectation, Lord, I pray that you are going to speak to us through this word. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ajibay.